We're going to move on to, I'm going to, I'm going to hit the mic. It's now 5:15. Here's what remains. If I could get to our agenda. Here it is. All we have to do before in the next 40 minutes is to do an hour and in 2 hours. That's not bad. Why don't we have Nicole's 10 minutes ED report that she said she could conflate? And then, shit. 2 minutes? All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, election coverage and capital needs.
Why don't I just take it to election coverage and just brief you guys on what's going on, okay? I just want to, before that, let's reiterate, you know, I brought out the poster for the 50th. I really think we can make some concrete plans around concrete things at each station, dovetail that into the affiliates in the next year with their relationship with us, whether that's special events or whatever. But I really want to impress on you guys, let's not self-compete, and let's make sure that we're smart about whatever fundraising goes on at the LSB level. I think the easiest thing each of you could do right now is get 10 major donors. Go through your Rolodexes, each and every one of you. Find a mid-level donor that might give a challenge grant to the next fund drive on the stations. That's something concrete you can do, even if it's just 5 people in your Rolodex that can do a challenge, even if it's only $200 challenge. That would be really something concrete that you could do. And think if every LSB member did that. Okay, an update on election coverage. All right, so this got hashed out or born at the staff meeting in Houston here, which is that, you know, the 5 stations will cover the conventions. So we're going to cover the Green Convention, which is in Chicago first, and then the DNC and then the RNC, and there's only a week's turnaround between the two. This has been a conversation that involves the GMs and the PDs, Nathan Moore, also John has been in on this. I believe Ursula has been in on it as well with regard to identifying stations that could, in any of those areas where the conventions are, that might be able to feed in reports. So we're going to do coverage, and we're in the process of defining what that looks like. The first thing to do was to get the logistics down, because there's probably no hotel room left in Denver. There's probably lots of hotel rooms, though, at the RNC, which is in St. Paul, Minneapolis, but maybe not. And then Chicago as well. I really, again, want to commend Nathan for getting some really, really cost-effective logistics down. So now we're in the process of defining what roles need to have happen. You know, all the different positions. We're looking at green coverage in a very different way as the DNC, and then the DNC coverage very different from the RNC, and trying to be as equal as possible amongst all that. So it's complicated, but really I'm relying on the GMs and PDs, who know their people at each station the best with regards to the skills and talents necessary. We're going to try to involve as many people as we can, but also knowing that there's, you know, only capacity, and this involves competency and expertise, and if people have certain beats that they're really expert about, incorporating that as well into the coverage. So we're also using Verna as well. So Verna and Nathan, and then all of us are part of that. And with regards to other news programming, we've got a small team going on as well with that, and that is Verna and Nathan and Lem and Dwayne and myself and John as well in that too. So we're looking at this as a way to bookend. People will come out of their mini drives maybe, hopefully not, but I think they're all going to have mini drives. We have the conventions. I'm urging all the stations to do their drive as soon as possible in the fall, not wait till the end of October, because a lot of people are going to be throwing money at the campaigns in October. This is a significant, significant presidential campaign in this country. And really, I don't want to get our listeners so conflicted between should I be giving right now to battle the Republicans or whatever, as opposed to being able to give. So we're hoping that most of the stations do their drives in September, late September. We'll have something to talk about going into the mini drive, which is convention coverage. We'll have something to talk about coming out of convention coverage. Look what we did during the conventions. It was real. It was all of us working together. Then we're looking at election night. We're talking about maybe doing 2-hour specials for a week leading up to election night, looking to see if there's any big issues, disenfranchisement, funky voter machines, whatever is going on, and then maybe a full day coverage on election day. And at this point, we really want to be able to pinpoint some affiliate stations because, again, some are out in rural areas, some aren't. But we could really pinpoint from the news of the day and getting them as boots on the ground reporting as to what could be coming in those critical areas where we don't have boots on the ground, and get a really full-on national kind of coverage from that. So that's what we're talking about. It's a lot of work on top of everything else. We're also talking about the web component. We find that that will be very, very critical. Any questions?
Yeah. Margaret and then Lisa.
Yeah, thanks, Nicole. I'll have to admit that I don't keep up on a daily basis, or perhaps as regularly as I should, to our website on election coverage. But I wanted to get back to what one of the listeners raised during the discussion, which is during the listener comment, which is the discussion on race. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, AC and I and others have kind of thrown, you know, ideas around about Pacifica playing the role of really that national conversation on race. And it sort of hurts a little bit to see CNN doing such a botched up, screwed up job of the whole thing when that is such a natural for us as Pacifica. And I'm wondering, you all have probably discussed that, but I would hope that whatever plans in the lead up to the election, the daily lead up, the specials, et cetera, that we really, and even if it weren't election coverage, I think this is something Pacifica should be doing in any case, and to do it on a national level.
Yeah, I agree, but we have to be careful. Remember, there's candidate stuff. You know, we're under FCC regulation, you guys, so we can't come out and promote candidates overtly. You have to give equal time, both at the local and the national level. So there is that component as well.
Right, I'm not necessarily talking about candidates,
but
just the
issue of race. For me, it's all about the editorial lens through which we view things and through the beats that we cover. You know, there's race, there's class, there's the environment, there's the economy, which is going to be huge. We talked about the difference in what would the beats be between the RNC and the DNC. You know, the RNC already has a self-anointed candidate, right? But we might look at the RNC and say the platforms are going to be what's most interesting there. You know, are they going to roll back the inheritance tax? Do they want to make tax cuts permanent? They're all about money, and so that's going to be an important lens, and then how that affects race, class, environment, economy, all that. These are the editorial lenses through which we can, you know, a larger discussion, like a town hall kind of thing, that's different, I believe, than like actual news coverage. But as long as you're doing those beats through those lenses, you're going to get that story from that point of view.
I'm sorry, can I just clarify what I mean? Because I think Nicole answered in part. And I agree with what you're saying about the lens. I'm talking about something else. I'm talking about special programming on the Pacifica, throughout the Pacifica network, on this conversation of race in the United States. Not necessarily what Obama said or the Democrats or the Republicans or any of that. And I have seen some of this very badly done on some of the mainstream stations. That's what I'm talking about. So you're right, it is a little bit different.
I was just talking about election coverage, right, but I agree with you, Margaret.
I didn't make that clear.
And I think
enough.
What's so interesting about our markets is that the demographic changes, and that those conversations have to happen within all the different communities where the demographic changes are happening as well. Didn't you guys do an event in Los Angeles on Black and Brown?
Black and Brown, very popular.
Yeah, yeah, that's the kind of stuff I want to see us having at a national level. Absolutely.
Well, I'm just
I'm just gonna
piggyback briefly off what Margaret said, and then go into something else I wanted to ask you, because this has come up over and over again, and justifiably so. I know that there's somebody at the WBAI LSB is always talking about. She said you all have talked about this issue, but we need to do much more on it. We need to really bring this conversation to the front better than it has ever been, and deal with the hard issues that so many people don't want to deal with. Issues of police brutality, we see it, at this election magnifies it even more, but it's always been, and all those issues that you talked about, the economy, what's going on,
right.
Exactly, in
class
terms
stuff.
Of, you know, the ecosystem and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Racism is in all of that. Definitely. So we really need to really push that conversation forward. And I'd like to also say, again, please, when we talk about the Racism and Sexism Committee and what's going on, let's integrate this stuff, because we also have the race and nationality policy that was put forward, the committees of inclusion. We really have to say, okay, we put this stuff forward. Now, how is it working, and how can we help each other to bring, you know, to make it work, to make our policy that we pass so nicely on the board, to make them real, to make them work.
And if I could just add something, Lisa,
sure.
You know, as a Lebanese Arab person, I find my community completely underrepresented.
Mm-hmm.
And I find another community completely overrepresented, which is, you know, the Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to see a broader coverage of the Middle East as well.
Oh, definitely.
And all the different communities and, you know, what it means to be an Iraqi right now and,
mm-hmm.
you know, all that.
Oh, definitely. Somebody's at the door? Okay.
So you had a question.
Yeah, well, I'll talk with you about something else that I was going to say, because I think, I don't know, we need to really get into more of a press release about who you are, I think, and in terms of that. But anyway, we can talk about that later. But one thing that I was wanting to hear a little bit more about, and I know we need a much longer discussion, but I see down here fundraising during hard times.
Right.
I mean, we can't get away from this one. We really can't. Money is hard pressed everywhere. The contributions are down across the board in terms of philanthropy, in terms of public radio in general, from what I understand, and things are getting harder. I read where they laid off over 70,000 people, I think, in cells across the board. We live in times where we have to really, you know, we need money, but we cannot be, I'm not saying anybody is, but we have to be very sensitive about the times that we live in, and, you know, and how do you, what are the things you can do? So I was really wanting to hear some of your comments or thoughts on that issue.
Well, this is what I call no magical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this dovetails into the finance conversation we've been having all day, which is to really look at expenses, you know, to be able to say, you know, we can't think magically that, oh, because it's an election year, we're going to do really well. That's happened in the past, but it might not happen this year,
mm-hmm.
For several reasons. One, I think it's the watershed year for online reporting and the blogging. They're getting better credentials than we are getting as radio, all right,
mm-hmm.
at both conferences, conventions. The bloggers, what the bloggers are getting are actual floor credentials, and we have to trade our floor credentials
mm-hmm.
every 20 minutes, and that's it. You know, we'll only get it for 20 minutes. So it's really fascinating, you know, to see that shift with regard to who's getting credentialed and with what credentials. I think fundraising during hard times also means really smart development directors or development direction
mm-hmm.
and saying, you know, being able to work the files, the development files, you know, who's at a level who could maybe become from a mid-level donor to maybe a major donor. And just, again, being very reality-based about our hopes and expectations. With regards to fundraising, because I think you and I, Lisa, are one of the few that keep talking about the price of a gallon of milk. And I really believe that if somebody has to choose between, you know, the cost of milk and
mm-hmm.
a membership, I know where that's going to go. you know, it's going to go to milk on the table. And we have to be very realistic about that. And that's why, you know, I don't think we've done a good enough job. We don't have good major donor work. We don't have good asks out there to foundations, et cetera. But all that comes of a kind. You know, you got to build those kind of development programs slowly.
And just one other, I know you talked about we have not really developed at all the website in terms of generating revenue.
Oh,
where
yeah.
I think you can get that.
Right.
Somewhere
at
99 cents,
you know,
or something
it's just
like that.
And that could be 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's not something that's dependent on a pledge window. You know, that's something that is 24/7. We already talked about the button to put on during convention. You know, we've talked about these things. I mean, the poor PRA has the hardest time just getting a button on there. You know, it's ridiculous. Why does it take three asks? You know, that kind of thing. So, you know, it's like hydropower as opposed to solar power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, solar power is only good during when the sun's out, but hydropower runs 24/7 if you've got the water flowing. So that's kind of what the web is. It's like hydro, maybe a trickle, but it's going 24/7. Water flows all the time. Sun is only, you know, X amount of hours. May give you a big charge, but, you know, your battery's quiet down at the night. So, you know, that's the way I'm looking at it. And I think that the web is that 24/7 hydro stream.
AC, you're next,
yeah,
Bob.
No,
AC, who's working on a campaign, I believe.
No, but I think that I was going to follow up on both what Margaret has said as well as Lisa's, that this question of the discussion of race and gender is already taking place in the campaign cycle, because two of the principal elements that people are looking at is going to be the vote of women and the vote of African Americans and other minorities. It's going to be that case. I mean, they're already discussing it right now, and even the discussion of class is on the agenda this weekend.
Oh, really?
Yes, this weekend, all over CNN and everywhere else, because of the simple fact that Obama had said something about, you know, the challenging the other two candidates on the issue of poor people in Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
You know, so that's on the, so it's going to be discussed whether we're doing it or not. So shouldn't there be the people that are going to be raising these questions at least familiarize themselves with that, or either somebody else who's maybe a programmer within Pacifica join with that to help with those kinds of questions, as well as you guys, you know, deal with that issue.
Right, AC, I'm not
it's
sure.
It's going to be discussed.
Right.
It's going to be discussed.
To get input.
Oh, yeah. To get input from those that are doing these programs now?
Right, and or, if necessary, some of the people who are doing programs to join with you at the conventions.
Yeah, we've already talked about that. I made some really good connections at Take Back America.
Right.
We're talking about our blogger connections as well. Mm-hmm. We're talking about our not-for-profit connections.
Right.
We're talking about people like Ruckus Society and those kinds of things. So absolutely. I don't think it's just going to be Pacifica-only voices. I was like, no more of the same pundits. Okay, you guys, let's not revert always back to the same people that you go to all the time. Let's find some fresh voices. There's a lot of people out there. You know, we need to find some fresh voices for analysis and punditry. So, yeah, AC. And, you know, if you get ideas for programs, you know.
No, I mean some of the people who are programs. We got here, we got Margaret, got Ambrose, we got a number of people sitting around this table.
We could do a show right now instead of the board meeting. Good idea. Let's do it.
Right, okay.
You guys would probably do a terrific show. Let's do it right now. No more, not on process or policy, but.
We like to talk.
Yeah, we got that down.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, well, I really applaud your last comment about not just the same old pundits. It's time for more new blood in our national broadcasts from this talent all over the network. I had one suggestion on, I totally support what the last few directors have been saying about the dialogue on race, and I would add, and on immigrants' rights, which is closely related, and a suggestion on how to do that. In 2004, Pacifica did a together with FSRN, did a series of 10 town hall meetings in 10 different cities where affiliate stations or sister stations existed, each one devoted to a political theme during the presidential campaign. I think that was fairly successful, so you might want to speak to some of the people who produced those programs. It might be one of the models, not the only model, for discussing these issues. The question is about, have you already been having discussions, and have they borne fruit with Democracy Now!, FSRN, and Indy Media about integrating them into a news coverage team for the conventions?
You know, we're really just looking at our stations right now because there's such a wealth of talent within our stations.
But why?
And I am meeting with Amy next week. I am meeting with Amy next week and to talk about, you know, because I know they're going to be there. Deanne, and
but,
she's in San Francisco.
We have the joint project. We have Election Unspun with FSRN.
You know, we got to knit our five stations. I want to bring some of the voices out from the stations. And, you know, I'm leaning on the PDs and GMs for identification purposes, and we're fully vetting everything. And if that folds in other stringers or whatnot, I mean, terrific. We are talking to KGNU now in Denver. They're a long-time affiliate station, because they're right there in Denver. And we're talking to KFAI in St. Paul, because they're right there in St. Paul. And that's an affiliate station right in St. Paul. So there's only so much we can do. Just being inclusive amongst ourselves will be a big deal.
Okay, thank you. Nicole, you know what? You also had some remarks. Okay. Go ahead, Grace.
Sorry. Nicole, a couple of members of our LSB and a couple of other people did some research that they showed me, and I've been thinking about things. The first thing is we have an NPR station, KPCC, that in the last few years has doubled its arbitrons and doubled its membership and income in our media market. I can tell from some of their recent programmings that they're now trying to capture our audience.
Mm-hmm.
They just did a one-hour, extremely well-produced, excellent documentary about Pete Seeger, which is basically we consider him our territory. You know what I mean?
Guess what?
No. Okay. And there's a Southern California Broadcasters Association that shows statistically that radio is not losing market share in Southern California. It's staying stable.
You're in your cars.
Because people are in their cars. There's lots of gridlock. I think that our income is more driven by our arbitrons. There's like a little economic downside happening right now, but in Southern California, we have large segments of population that have very high combined household incomes. There's plenty of money out there in Southern California, and we need to really tighten up and improve, especially our drive time programming. It doesn't mean changing the grid necessarily. It means, you know, improving production values. If programmers need training on how they can speak faster, clearer, you know, have better guests or whatever needs to be done. But we should focus in. We need to raise our arbitrons. If we raise our arbitrons, we'll improve our market share, and we'll do what KPCC has been doing.
And you know that Ruth Seymour, who's a longtime chum of mine.
No, she's KCRW.
Yeah, I know, but do you know that she at KCRW brags a larger Latino audience than you guys?
Yeah, because, you know, a market research person.
That's kind of perception busting because, you know, they're NPR with all their incredible music and all that, and that's a real perception buster.
Well,
about, you know,
a market research person,
audiences.
I talked to recently, a radio market research person, told me that the Latino audience in L.A. is about 25% English only. In other words, people with Spanish surnames, 25% English only. 25% Spanish only, and then there's the in-between. There's a bilingual that goes to both. So, you know, they'll listen to English, they'll listen to Spanish. So, you know, we need to know our audience. We need to do the research we need to do. It's not so hard either. We can, you know, get it from volunteers who work at commercial stations, all kinds of things, because that's some of the stuff that's been brought to me.
Well, that according to the trade magazines and everything, the only audience that's actually rising in radio listening is the Spanish-speaking or Latino audience.
I'm not in any way putting it down.
6%.
We need 6% to know
what
all
is
last
this
year.
Okay.
Can I give one last little fact? KPC has a teensy-weensy little teeny license. It's really hard to hear in a lot of places in Southern California. And we have this Gigonzo license and signal. They have a little tiny signal, and they're like, have triple to quadruple our listenership. We need to think and really get our listenership up.
Thank you. We have...